Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the April 19 edition of Commodity Week. Chicago this week, the commodity markets seem just a bit distracted. We'll find out why today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Iowa State's Elwin Taylor about the agricultural weather forecast. Our panelists in studio today include Ellen Dearden of AgriView from Morton, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
Well, let's start our discussion with this question. Ellen Dearden, in Chicago this week, the lead option soybeans finished the week 15 and a quarter cents higher, but the November, or the harvest month, were down 18 and three quarters. Why the difference in the spreads?
Well, an awful lot of pressure on this new crop with thinking that cold and wet are going to increase bean acres and that the corn acres, particularly those in the Northwest Corn Belt, where snow cover is still there, are certainly not going to go to corn.
And Kurt Kimmel?
We'll continue to see a lot of premium being paid to shake loose small crop beans. A situation where, these injuries are probably going to go hand to mouth here for a while and make sure they got some inventory before they go through the crush. But, until we see this cash market free up a little bit, I imagine old crops going to remain in strong hands in here and see the bull spread work.
And Wayne Nelson.
Meal, meal, and meal, Todd. They want to make meal now, they want to buy meal now, and everybody needs it. So that's what's keeping it, as Kurt said, tight holders of soybeans now. The processing plants are paying up. It's a record basis level for this time of year over the last 15 years. And, of course, everybody thinks we got a new crop that's going to be great.
May beans this week, by the way, had a top at $14.41.5. The bottom there was at $13.89. The settlement price, once again, up 15 and a quarter on the week. That's the weekly trade from one Friday to the next at $14.28.25 for the May. November soybeans at $12.13. Again, down 18 and three quarters. Wayne Nelson mentioned bean meal. It finished $12.20 higher on the week. I happened to look at that one because meal has been leading those nearbys higher.
Yep, meal sure has been leading the nearbys higher, and it appears that the cash meal with a basis is even stronger yet. So it looks really simply like that the beans themselves, while the bean oil has been on the weak side and the basis is weakened.
What do you suppose this will mean in the longer term as we look forward to WASDE reports over each month? Will USDA look at that meal number eventually and say, well, maybe it's tighter in soybean supply than we suspected? Or did they simply have it right and we're seeing this take place at this time?
Well, I think overall, feed demand remains much stronger than what they really indicate. There's some strong demand there. As we move down the road here, I think it's just going to continue to be the same. Once May goes off, July is going to fall in line and through here and have to firm up. It's a hedger's dream come true. The market has basically, the future side, been steady lowering through here, and the cash has been a premium in here. And so it's a situation, too, where there's no real incentive to move those positions just yet also.
Speaking of feed demand, cattle on feed came out Friday afternoon. The on feed at 93%. Placed at 106, marketed 92. What does that mean to the marketplace?
Well, it means good feed demand, but I thought the placement number was a little higher than what most of the trade was looking at. I think there were an awful lot of people going into the report that thought that placement number would come in around 100% and a lot of guesses under that. But we had lousy weather in February, and we just didn't get cattle into feedlots, and so they moved in March. But, that speaks that we've got to have either the DDGs to feed or meal along with some kind of a feed stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're probably short supplied on both of those things, I would think.
Yeah, we went how many months without being up to par on our ethanol production, so our DDG production was also way down. Our corn stocks are tight. Like we said, it's going to be tight on old crop corn and old crop beans to get us through the summer and all our feed needs. Will we see corn imported from Argentina? Will we see bean meal from South America? It's possible.
It's possible, but we haven't seen all of that happen yet. And still, we haven't really rallied the marketplace at all, at least in recent times. You think there's another push up sometime soon?
Well, Todd, we saw breakdown this week, of course, with all the rain and the flooding and all the river terminals being closed, in the upper Illinois River along the way that way. So that knocked the corn basis some. But I think that, in our area, we know that POETs are bringing in rail cars of corn because they can't, originate enough corn locally. So they're having to get out of our area right now already, and it's a long time till harvest.
May corn had a high this week at $6.65 1/4. It's low at $6.41. Settlement price there at $6.52. It was down 6.5 cents on the week. December contract at $5.47. Finished 3 cents higher. Let's stay with this whole complex where we have what appears to be a really short supply of feedstuff. USDA says not as short for corn, at least at this time, and maybe for DDGs. I'm not quite certain about that one, but the marketplace is saying we're going to need it. But the futures markets, the basis markets, really haven't shown that yet.
Well, the cash has in some areas, and cash is probably going to show as we move down the road. The futures might not reflect it from the standpoint as we've lost investor confidence. When you go to a cocktail party with the high rollers, they're not talking about how much corn or beans they own or even gold they own anymore. It's been a liquidation. It's a clear-cut, picture-perfect chart when you see the CRB versus equities. There's no enthusiasm there, and wet weather's not going to get enthused until we start seeing levees break on TV like we did in 93. So I feel we're going to be caught in here. If you're watching the futures and you have cash grain, want higher prices, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to have to focus on the cash and monitor that. That's where the action is going to be, is in the cash.
I love your tuxedo, by the way. The high-end cocktail parties are a great place to go. Let's talk. I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself. Let's talk about the wet weather. We've heard this a couple of times already in the program. It's rained a great deal. The storm total here on this campus at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign was just about 3.5 inches. I had 2.7 last week, so that's what, about 6.2 over a two-week period. It's been really, really wet in a large part of the Midwest, certainly in the upper two-thirds of the state of Illinois, but the marketplace seems to have ignored that part of the process.
Yeah, it's even had a lot of pictures on TV and all over the internet, and the markets just kind of rolled over and played dead, so I'm not sure what we have to do to catch people's attention. Do we have to not plant another kernel of corn till the 15th of May?
When will the planters roll?
Well, that's a good question. There's some planters that are already rolled, wish they wouldn't, especially in some river bottoms in some areas. But as of right now, I'll be surprised if we even get in the field the first week of May.
There are places that probably could have planted in the last week and a half to 2 weeks, I would think, in the southern part of Indiana, maybe the southern part of Illinois. Have you talked to any of those folks? I know a couple of weeks ago we had John Bondurant on. He was worried in his area in the Delta, Tennessee, Memphis area about not being in the field. But have they managed to get planted or not?
There's been some planting done. I know John got some of his done as I talked to him the other day. And I know that some the guys down around Vincennes and on some of that sandier soil have got some corn in the ground and whatever. But I also got an email this afternoon that said, and we're done for the next 10 days. So, I mean, with the rain that we've had. You know, the University of Illinois put out a little blip that said it's not really late planted corn until after the 20th of May. You know, most of the guys I'm talking to now can put 500 to 700 acres in a day. If we get clear weather starting the second week of May, why, you know, we're going to get the majority of this crop on in. And the big difference in what you asked that question was, we've been talking about the drought map getting smaller and smaller and smaller as all this rain comes in. We were moisture deficit by how many inches, and we got how many inches. You know, they're looking that rain makes grain. Not necessarily. Wet springs generally make more or a better yield than dry springs.
There, of course, is still time to plant corn, plant soybeans in a large part of the Midwest, but that time will run out fairly quickly in the Dakotas. And they're looking at snowfall. They're looking after that, if we get any warm weather, at a melt that could really keep them out for some time along the Red River with flooding problems.
Yep, it's going to be huge. And we just don't have a lot of short season hybrids available for that area anyway. And it extends well into Minnesota, this snow cover. So it's not going to just be a Dakotas deal. But that's where the new acres were going to come out of, Minnesota, North and South Dakota.
Yeah, and will they switch to soybeans at that point if they can't get corn in, or just take prevent plant, or what happens?
Depends on how late it goes. Right now I'm hearing soybeans or canola, sunflowers in the Red River Valley.
Let's talk about some other places that are having weather problems. July wheat, and we'll go with soft red at the moment, but it's the hard red that's having the problem. 720 on its high at 694.5 on the low. July settled down 8 cents at $7.11.5. It was cold again this week, and may be cold again pretty soon in parts of what? Texas, Oklahoma, the hard red wheat growing areas.
Yeah, we're looking for another drop in the good, excellent category. Definitely the KC Chicago spread's back on. It liquidated pretty heavy there during the winter time frame. And with the conditions we're seeing through here, definitely KC is going to be the one to watch to take over leadership.
If it does, can it pull corn up with it?
It should pull corn definitely there for a while. Wheat was a discount to the corn, so as long as wheat's it's going to pull corn with it.
Let's take a look at the global marketplace. Last week we were talking about 30-mile lines to dump soybeans in Brazil. Have those been alleviated at all?
They're shorter than they were, Todd, but they're still awfully darn long. We've still got some problems down there. We're having some problems probably with the Argentinians not wanting to sell their beans because of their inflation problems and the way their taxes are associated along with it. So there is some problems like that. You know, we talk about the other wheat that you were talking about there. Russia said they don't have enough to ship some places right now. They will later. They're looking for a bigger crop coming on, but they aren't able to ship some areas of northern Africa right now. And Australia is also having some weather problems. But you would think with wheat, when we see all these pictures on the internet of frozen wheat fields and plants that are, you know, just frozen and knocked over, standing on their head, we'd maybe seen the wheat rally a little more.
Let's take a look at some of the other numbers. Live cattle finished the June contract at 121.30. That was up 55 for the week. May feeders at 139.20 were $1.72.5 lower, and the June lean hogs finished 30 cents higher at $90.20. I'd like to poll all of you, and we'll start with you, Ellen Dearden, on your bullish, friendly, neutral, bearish stance, corn, soybeans, and wheat, and do old and new crop both for me, please.
Corn, new and old, I think, both on the friendly side. I think we just put in some 20-week lows. On the bean side, bull spreads only. I'm bullish the old crop beans, but not the new. Wheat, pretty neutral on both.
Kurt Kimmel?
I believe we positive short term, but as we move into May and through here, we feel the planters will roll. We feel the forecast will change, and I think the trade is going to treat it negative going into last part of June, first part of July.
And Wayne Nelson.
Hey, tell me what the weather forecast is going to be next week for the 2 weeks out, and I'll tell you how I feel about it. I'm like Kurt. I think as we see the ideas of going to the field and corn going in the ground, we're going to go sideways to down. New crop, as long as we get those planters rolling, is going to fall a little faster. The beans, we talked all about the meal demand for right now. Old crop beans are the sexiest story on the street right now. And wheat, I haven't quite figured out why. Everybody wants to buy Minneapolis wheat over any other wheat. Just because of all their delayed planting and maybe not getting enough in. But I think the wheat should see a little bit of a rebound.
Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities. He's out of New Market, Indiana. Kurt Kimmel is here, too, from Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois. And Ellen Dearden is with us from AgriView out of Morton, Illinois. When we come back in just a few minutes, we'll talk with Ellen Taylor. He's the state climatologist for Iowa State Extension. This, of course, is Commodity Week. It is the April 19th edition.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. The story of this last week was the heavy rainfall across the northern two-thirds of Illinois that caused widespread flooding. Rainfall totals were about 2 inches near Interstate 70 and increased northward. The heaviest rainfall was north of a line between Quincy and Chicago, with amounts in the range of 4 to 6 inches. According to the National Weather Service, cool and wet conditions will prevail in the coming weeks. Highs on Saturday will range from the upper 40s in northern Illinois to the upper 50s in southern Illinois. Lows Saturday night will be in the mid-30s across Illinois. Sunday will be warmer with highs in the upper 50s in northern Illinois and in the low 60s across the rest of the state. Lows Sunday night will be in the mid-40s, and the highs on Monday will be in the 60s across the state. The rest of the week will see highs in the 50s and lows in the 30s. There is a chance of rain on Monday and Tuesday with possible rainfall totals in the 1-inch range. Things look better in the 6 to 10 and 8 to 14-day forecast, with drier than average conditions prevailing and temperatures returning to average after next week. Looking farther out to the month of May, the latest National Weather Service outlook foreshows an increased chance of drier-than-average conditions across Illinois as well as eastern Missouri, Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio. Temperatures are expected to be near average. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
This is the April 19 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today include Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana, and Ellen Dearden of AgriView out of Morton, Illinois. On the phone line from Ames at Iowa State, Extension climatologist Ellen Taylor. Thank you so much, Ellen, for taking the time with us today. Let's start with conditions in Iowa. Have they recovered from last year's drought, and is the state divided in some form between those who do and those who do not have moisture?
Divided in the state is the way to talk about it. And we're not just a state divided when it comes to football teams, you know. We can be a state divided when it comes to agriculture. I mean, in this case, it's a physical division, and the division is Interstate 35. Well, that doesn't just divide Iowa. It's pretty much dividing the Corn Belt right now. East of Interstate 35, the drought of the past 2 years is essentially done. And should we end up in drought in Illinois or eastern Iowa, it won't be a continuation of the past 2 years' drought. It will be a new one. But west of Interstate 35, the drought is still very much with us, even though many of the locations received significant amounts of rain during the past 2 weeks. That has helped the situation a great deal. It has not cured it. And so the risk continues west of Interstate 35. Nebraska, I've had phone calls today and yesterday with particularly ranchers concerned that the greenup has not arrived yet on the grazing lands. And should it arrive, they're afraid that it will still be a rather temporary greenup because the precipitation over winter has nowhere near replaced the water that was consumed last summer and last fall.
Just kind of piggybacking on that cool idea, I mean, our spring temperatures have been considerably cooler than normal. How and when will we be able to get this ground warm enough, and how will we be able to build DDGs this summer?
Well, the warm-up, it looks like it is not too far distant. So I think that for the most part, when the soil is ready for moisture to get out there and plant the corn, or in some cases beans, and beans instead of corn for people that are concerned about the timing and have the seed available, they will likely be well advised to go, at least from the corn standpoint. Corn can withstand a week or so of cold weather before it germinates and begins to emerge, and so we think that the warm weather will be with us by the time that the crop really needs to have the warm weather. So it's mostly now where people think their planting time is here and is starting to slip by, that they can go when the soil is ready. We certainly don't advise anyone to plant when the soil is not ready. We just pay too high a cost for the damage to the soil of planting when the moisture is too high.
Are there any particular years that this reminds you from the past?
There are a couple that it does. The first thing that we have is this drought that we have been experiencing has been a multi-year one, although a lot of people talked about the flash drought of last year because we did have a waning of the drought. It's the same waning that we saw in the previous strong La Nina. This La Nina event, which is in neutral right now, it's past the La Nina, was the second strongest that we've had in recorded history. That's about 130 years. And the strongest was in the mid-1950s. And the pattern was much the same. A disastrous drought down Texas way and their immediate neighbors in 55. And the disastrous drought in the Corn Belt in 56. And the hangover part of that into 57, mostly in the western portion of the Corn Belt. We've been following the way things went in the 50s, not quite as severe as they were then, but almost week for week for the 3 years, and almost county for county where the occurrences have been, whether they be tornadoes or drought, flood or dust storm. All across the country, it has been a very similar situation to that situation in the mid-50s, also controlled by a strong La Nina event. The La Nina event that does put high and low pressures that tend to be persistent high and low pressures by season across the world, at least between the Arctic Circle and the Antarctic Circle. And when you get all the high and low pressures in the wrong place, shifted from where they normally are, you shifted the weather patterns. And when everything is shifted, it tends to be a persisting situation, which it has been for 2+ years now.
Elwin, well, the big question is, we know it's wet now. We know we're going to get it planted. How's the summer going to be? Are we going to get a good crop?
And there is the question, and you notice the National Weather Service has been very hesitant to give anything of a strong probability summer forecast. They've been known the past few years to be quite outspoken on what they thought the summer would be like, and with some accuracy to go with it, some skill associated. But this year, they know better than to stick their neck out because we don't have the guiding force of something that is strong down by the equator that can give an indication from winter and early spring as to what the summer will be. With no strong force pushing this, they've been very hesitant to put any strong probabilities on the summer. So mostly now let's look at a little bit of history. In the six occasions that we have had a year as dry, at least in Iowa and western Illinois, as we did this past year, the 2012 water year, that has happened five times before. And when we look at those five times, it was preceded by a year that was shy of normal precipitation. And the subsequent year, the year that we would be in now, comparing it, was also at least a bit shy, no matter how the spring started out. Another thing about spring moisture, though it does give us some insurance against running out of water in the soil if we get a hot, dry spell in the summer, it does not give us any assurance on the side of the crop. When we're on the moist side of usual, the roots of our crops tend to be less robust than when we're slightly to the harsh side of usual. And with roots that are shallow and are not dense, we are much more susceptible. We would think of a few years, such as 1977, and the worst one, 1947. It started off with a very wet spring, went hot and dry in the summer. 1983 did a similar thing. And in 88, it was a different situation. Though we had had a moist early spring, it was hot and dry early in the summer, and it turned to normal in midsummer in 88 after it had done the damage. But 83, the drought came late, having had a rather wet spring. So wet springs do tend to set us up for more drought damage should the hot, dry period come in the summer.
Well, when I know that you generally throw a number out for average yield, have you done that for this coming year?
I'm still calculating the number because, as I mentioned already, the National Weather Service is hesitant, so am I, and for about the same reasons. But nevertheless, we do have a number. We do have the number for the yield of last year, which was 123.4 bushels to the acre for the U.S. corn yield, and this year it's looking like it will clearly not be as bad. So better than that, and not as good as trend. Now, the 30-year trend is right at 160 bushels, or another way of looking at it would be 164 bushels, one being the yield we would expect a little bit above the trend if we have normal weather all throughout the growing season. And, of course, the National Weather Service hasn't given us any information on that because they don't have it. And we don't have too much information from the outlook that we get from the Agricultural Statistics Service. The statisticians tell us to expect 164 bushels if we have a normal summer. And that's the good thing about the Statistical Service outlooks for corn yield and other commodity crops. They are based on what the yield will be if we have normal weather. So at least it gives us a hint when we see the weather's better than normal or worse than normal, we know which side that their number will move toward.
Elwin Taylor is at Iowa State, where he serves as the Extension Climatologist. A quick final word from our panelist in studio, Ellen Dearden of Ag Review.
Watch these old crop corn markets because the basis looks like it wants to falter a little.
Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a up and down, but old crops may got a little value for a while. But overall, we feel the risk is to the downside as a producer.
And Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Get ready to sell any rally at all possible in these new crop corn. And thank you, Ellen. It was great to hear the weather forecast again.
That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. It's the 19th day of April when we record it. You can always find it on our website again at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. You have a great week. I'm Todd Gleason.